There's a saying, you can look at a glass half empty or half full. And it's a way of really trying to say you can be an optimist and hope for the best, or you can be a pessimist and always see the worst. But I think that misses the point about the glass and what's really important. It's not really about whether it's half full or half empty. What matters is what's in it. What fills it? God wants to give you something really amazing. The Holy Spirit wants to come into your life to do something that may even seem impossible. But the degree to which that can happen is dependent upon what else is in your heart and your soul. Every choice we make puts something in our heart and soul. Every choice. What is it that we choose to fill our souls with? Do we, in negative ways, choose to fill our soul with material goods, seeking to find that next new thing, only to discover that there's something newer and better that we want right after we get it? Do we fill our soul with selfishness and pleasure, getting or taking what we want, when we want, how we want? Do we fill ourselves with ourselves? We even have an expression, we're full of ourselves. Or do we seek to fill it with something else? Or more importantly, do we seek to allow God to fill our hearts? Will you let the Holy Spirit into your life? Even if the Holy Spirit promises something that seemingly is impossible? That's what happened to the Blessed Mother, whose feast we celebrate today. This Immaculate Conception, that from the first moment of her conception, she was free from all sin, even original sin. Or I would like to put another way, she was the first recipient of the gifts of salvation of her Son. She received the grace of baptism because God knew how she was going to live her life. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts. God never forces his way into our lives. So we do have to think, do we seek to empty ourselves to get the things that clutter our hearts and souls? Do we seek to get rid of those things that are not helpful, those things that are actually harmful, to allow it to be filled with the Spirit? It's no easy task. Because sometimes what God asks of us, what God calls us to do, can seem impossible. Loving enemies, praying for persecutors. Doesn't sound easy to me. But it's even simpler than that. How easy is it to pass someone if you see them on the road and you can tell that they're homeless? How easy is it to look the other way? And maybe even worse, make up some kind of narrative about what their story is about or what you know when you don't really know. How easy is it to pass someone in the hall here? Maybe someone that you're not close to or you don't know, but you know that you've seen instances where people have not treated this person very well. Can you summon the grace of the Holy Spirit to reach out to them? It may feel impossible, but it happens because of the virtue of courage. Doing something in the face of harm because it's the right thing to do. We see heroic examples of this all the time if we look carefully. But too often, it's easy to see all the ways in which our world is filled with emptiness and in fact even celebrates the emptiness that is a part of our world. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you? Will you ask Jesus to help you to empty your heart and soul of those things that do not make you the person God has made you to be? Can you ask God to take away that emptiness so that you can see in every person that you encounter an opportunity, an invitation to learn a little bit more about Jesus, since we are all made in the image and likeness of God? That's what Mary did. In the face of the impossible, becoming pregnant without intercourse, she said yes to something that set in motion an amazing, amazing thing. The divine Son of God became fully human to teach us how to live, but to take on our sinfulness, to pay that price, to pay the debt for those choices that we make that are sinful when we turn away from God. But Jesus doesn't hold that against us. Rather, Jesus gives us and extends to us mercy for those times when we sin. And even though he hates the sin, he always loves the sinner. He always loves us. Even when we sin, he loves us. He hates the sin, but he loves us. And Christmas, that we'll soon celebrate, should be the reminder of that awesome and tremendous love of God, who loved us so much that he became one of us. He became fully human so that we could share in his divinity.